everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. You're listening to Gracie's show. So today's topic is something a little more serious than usual. I'd like to discuss the issue of Australians sleeping rough. I was in Brisbane City the other night, waiting for my bus home from work, and I go to sit on a bench by the bus stop. I go to sit down, and I see there is a bunch of dirty clothes placed at the other end of the bench. I'm sitting there for about 30 seconds until I realise the clothes appear to be breathing and start to move around. It's actually a person. I feel so bad that I probably just woken this guy up from sleeping, so I give him whatever change I had in my wallet, which was only about $10, and a can of Red Bull that was in my bag. He seemed so grateful, and we started talking about his day until my bus arrived and I left. I work in the city 5 days a week, and surprisingly, I have not seen many people sleeping rough as of late, and I wanted to know why this was. I had some previous knowledge about this massive housing problem we have in Australia. However, I thought it would be a great idea to do some more research for this podcast. According to the 2016 census, there are over 116,000 people in Australia who are homeless. However, the Australian Bureau of Statistics has indicated this was likely to be an underestimate at the time, and also proven to have increased drastically as a result of the COVID pandemic. To put this in perspective, that is about 50 out of every 10,000 people. This statistic is also up 5% from 48 people in 2011. Therefore, it is pretty unlikely that you, my listener, has ever had to experience such a living situation. So I want you to imagine that tonight you'll be sleeping on the street. To ensure your safety from being attacked, mugged, raped, or even murdered, you must sleep in plain sight of pedestrians. On a concrete footpath under a streetlight, or maybe near a CCTV camera, or perhaps on a bench, or maybe even in a shop doorway, if you don't get told to move along by the police. You've got a bag of belongings and the clothes on your back to your name. You don't even have the luxury of having a blanket. Cold, hungry, and scared, rough sleep is like a result of drastic measures, sleeping on the street, in cars, in shelters, and in overcrowded boarding houses every night of their lives. They live in every jurisdiction in Australia, representing both a personal hardship for those experiencing homelessness and a lost opportunity for the community and the economy. Homelessness can be caused by a variety of complex issues. I spoke with Jeffrey Milne, who is a senior advisor in the Policy, Research and Social Justice Department for the Salvation Army. He explained to me that there are many homeless cohorts. People already sleeping rough, women and children experiencing family and domestic violence, young people, people exiting institutions, veterans, newly employed, unemployed people with disabilities, the list goes on. They can be made to sleep rough from cost of living pressures, alcohol or drug abuse, poverty and system failures, among many other things. He says the circumstances and needs of housing and support of these cohorts need to be understood and enumerated in order to ensure commensurate responses. Homelessness in Australia is a result of systematic and structural failures. Our society has a complex arrangement of safety nets, and a person becoming homeless means that one, or generally several, of these safety nets have failed, according to Jeffrey. Therefore, homelessness is thought to be a wicked problem. Wicked problems are defined as problems that cannot be resolved by using standard scientific techniques, such as algorithms, logic, or rules and principles, according to Riddle and Weber. Furthermore, of the Australians experiencing homelessness, 5% are sleeping rough, and 95% are staying in shelters, boarding houses, temporary accommodation, or severely crowded homes. So even though these people have places or houses to stay in, they are still seen as homeless. This is another reason why homelessness is tough to describe and makes it a wicked problem, according to Camillus. So an example of this can be seen at the start of the pandemic this year. It was a tough time for everyone, and in particular, the most vulnerable Australians. In February, Australia was thrust into lockdown to try to reduce case numbers. Businesses and shops across the country closed their doors, and only essential services could stay open. Economic hardship and loss of income caused people to become homeless, according to Third Space, which is a Brisbane charity for rough sleepers, who saw a massive increase in their service users. The federal and state government urged citizens to stay at home and socially distance to reduce the spread of infection. But when you don't have a home and can't live on the street without threatening your health, where are you meant to stay? While a positive outcome, the COVID-19 pandemic triggered the Queensland government to introduce a $24.7 million housing and homeless immediate response fund back in March. This response was designed to deliver enhanced housing and homeless support to ensure vulnerable Queenslanders had access to life-changing services they needed throughout the pandemic. This initiative also saw people in student accommodation around Brisbane, such as Atira Student Accommodation on Glen Street in Toowong, move out of their apartments so that people experiencing homelessness could move in. This did also cause some issues for students at the time, who could not find a place with such short notice. This is another property that distinguishes homelessness as a wicked problem, because this attempt to find a solution is not a good or bad solution, as there were consequences to other stakeholders affected by the situation. The Salvation Army's inquiry into homelessness in Australia to the Standing Committee on Social Policy and Legal Affairs from June explains how the experience of a global pandemic has highlighted how these failures disproportionately affect people who are disadvantaged. It has also highlighted that there's a huge resilience and capacity to change in our society, as shown by the Student Accommodation Initiative. The government's response plan was made to be able to resolve this issue. However, accommodation was only temporary. This initiative really only focused attention on people sleeping rough and not fully addressing the pipeline of affordable housing and risks of homelessness for other Australians. This failed solution highlights that there is no right answer to homelessness. As a complete outsider to this issue, I wanted to know whether more funding into housing would be able to solve this issue. I spoke with Tatera Tamar, who is an intervention support worker at New Farm Neighbourhood Centre and has been working in the industry for 9.5 years. Tatera says the solution to eradicating homelessness is to look at the systems and structures that lead to homelessness and strengthen their ability to work with people in order to avoid it altogether.
It's probably not necessarily a change, but a continuation and more of a development of. And that's the collaboration between organisations. We're certainly focused on that within Communify about how we can streamline our services between one program to another. So it cuts down the red tape so that a service can be provided quickly.
He also told me how he recognised how the community and other organisations were able to come together to help people in need.
Well, of that is that we had one guy who was sleeping rough in the New Farm Neighbourhood Park, and he started coming here to use the services to wash his clothes, and we were able to provide some food parcels as well as from our patrons who kindly donate money to us or give money, and so we were able to purchase Coles vouchers.
Social capacity building initiatives enable community capacity building where stakeholders work together for social order to achieve goals through targeted mechanisms such as communication, leadership, training, policy making, and establishing networks for exchange, according to Professor Jane Johnson at UQ. This is an example of collective and shared values within a community that help make connections which build reciprocal relationships, collaboration, trust, and a sense of shared community, which is what New Farm Neighbourhood Centre is all about. If you'd like to help strengthen the community in Inner North Brisbane by supporting the diverse needs and interests of all its members, you can head to the New Farm Neighbourhood Centre website and give a small donation of any size. Awesome. That seems like it's all we've got time for today. See you guys next week. Thanks for listening.